Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
How the devil are you all? Right, we've got a bit of a strange case here. From 2009, so again, it's relatively recent.
Yeah, compared to some of the stories we know, it's pretty modern.
So, let's get straight into it, right? Because I don't like keeping people in suspense. All right, so this goes on. It takes about 4 days for this sequence of events to take place. It's about 4 days we're talking about, but it starts on June the 12th, 2009, and it takes place. Well, it starts in Derry, in Ireland, okay? When a guy in his 60s, a tall, thin man with grey hair and glasses, gets onto a bus and asks to go to Sligo, right?
Right.
So it's always strange because nobody asked to go to Sligo. But he was wearing a black leather jacket and carried two pieces of luggage. One of them was a two-handled hold-all style bag, okay? And the other one was a bag around his shoulder. Looks very similar to a laptop bag, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this is all he had. So he had this hold-all and a laptop bag. Anyway, he jumps on the bus and he has to go to Sligo. And this is about 6:30 in the evening, okay? So he gets down there, jumps off out the bus station, jumps into a taxi and asks the taxi driver to take him somewhere that's inexpensive, right? Where you wouldn't necessarily need to book.
Yeah.
One of these places you could just walk in. I mean,
like the vacancy signs.
Generally speaking, in England, it's fairly common that you just walk into a hotel and just. I presume it is everywhere else, but I know in the UK it is. You could just walk into most hotels and
most
get a room
of them,
for the night.
Yeah.
So, the first place that the taxi driver actually took him to, there was no places available. On saying that, so he ended up going to another place where he actually ended up in the Sligo City Hotel. On Quarry Street, okay, and the ware room's available. And he booked him for 3 nights and he paid in cash. Again, in the UK, this being in Ireland, but we don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they'll ask you for ID, things like that. But normally they just take your credit card and they hold that credit card. So if you do any damage to the room, anything like that, throw a TV out the window, you get billed on the credit card, as I found out to my expense. Or flooded the place.
Yeah.
As after a massive orgy or whatever. But, so that's kind of how it works. But if you're paying cash, normally you just hand the cash. They tell you the price, you hand the cash, and that's it. And in this case, that's exactly what happened. Now, he did fill out a form, because on the reservation for the room, you do have to fill out a form. And he put down his name as Peter Bergman, okay? And interestingly enough, he gave an address, which was Ainge Strand, around Strandston, 1544-72, Vienne, and this translated to be in, like, in Vienna in Austria. The actual place that he gave, and the police look into this case later on as we'll come into this, but the actual address doesn't exist. It did used to exist, but now it's a vacant lot and has been for a very long time.
Right.
So is this just a guess, or is this
something he's planned?
Something that he used, you know, he knew. But, you know, coming up. And the other interesting thing is the way he spelt Bergman was B-E-R-G-M-A-N-N, okay? And the two N's at the end does possibly mean he came from Austria, because that is the Austrian way of spelling that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? But double N. Again, that's a little thing. But, again, like I say, he was asked to provide no identification, so he didn't. And so all we've got to go on is what he's filled out here.
Yeah.
Right. So he's given the keys to room 705 and he made his way to his room. Now, the CCTV footage of this case, and again, you can watch this online, but you will notice quite instantly, you know, when you start watching this, you notice that he's got this bag, and it's a purple, just a plastic carrier bag, but it's purple, which stands out.
Yeah, it's so not normal.
You can imagine that over these 3 days that he was in and out of the hotel, the staff did seem to comment on this plastic bag. This plastic bag became a bit of a running joke with the staff. The guy himself, the staff all say that he kept himself to himself. He didn't mix with the other guests. You know, he'd be friendly in the corridor if you saw him and that. He'd say hello. He'd say morning, you know, when he came to drop his key off in the morning before he went out, things like that. But he mostly kept himself to himself. But every day he left the hotel on several occasions, and every time he left, he would be carrying that purple plastic shopping bag, yeah, which was obviously full of some contents. And when he came back, in his room, but he'd go out with a purple bag, come back without the purple bag. And again, he did this a total of 13 times during this weekend, okay? But interestingly enough, there's no CCTV footage, closed circuit television footage, you know, from around the town, of him disposing the contents of that bag.
Okay.
Which, and again, if you watch the CCTV footage back, and I'll put a link at the end of this show to a YouTube video of this, you can see it for yourself if you that way inclined. But you see him and he's sort of studying. He stood on a street corner and he's looking around. And you can see he's studying where the cameras are looking. Where can they see? And then he goes to a place where the cameras can't see and disposes his content, puts the carrier bag in his pocket, goes back to the hotel, fills it back up again, goes back out again. Okay, so this is what he was doing over these 3 days. Again, the eyewitnesses saw him about the town, but nobody saw him depositing anything that we know of.
Quite sneaky with it.
Yeah. On the second day, I think he was there, he ended up going to the post office in the morning and he bought stamps, 8 of them, and he also bought airmail stickers.
Right.
And this was on Sunday the 14th of June. But he then enters a taxi and asked the taxi driver to take him to a quiet beach or a deserted beach. And the taxi driver suggests this little, you know, desolate beach. It's, you know, a lot of people go there, walk the dogs, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, it's not a touristy place, okay? Mm-hmm. It's called Ross's Point. He drove in there at Bergman's request. And the taxi driver reports he basically stopped, he opened the window, he had a look around, and then he said, yeah, this is what I was looking for. Take me back to the hotel.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's
pretty random.
It's not a normal taxi journey, is it?
So anyway, so this takes us to Monday the 15th of June, and Bergman asked the clerk if he could check out a bit later on. All right, his checkout was, say, I don't know, early morning, but he wanted to hang on. And he asked for about around one-ish, which they granted him because, again, it's not uncommon that people be waiting for a train or a bus or, do you know what I mean, that might come in the afternoon. So rather than just leaving the hotel early morning checkout, people will ask if they can just hang on behind a little bit because they've got time to kill.
Yeah.
And totally, you know, normal request. So the staff didn't think this was you know, anything out of the normal. So he did, and then he, like I say, 1 o'clock he checked out. And when he checked out, he was carrying his purple bag, his black laptop style bag, and that and the whole hole as well. So he checked out with everything, basically checked in with. On a little side note, while he was at the hotel, like I said before, the staff thought he was, that he spoke with an Austrian accent, okay? So they didn't know if he could speak real fluent English. And so he wasn't interacting with people in the hotel. He wasn't interacting with staff, generally speaking. But they didn't know if that was because he was foreign, right?
Yeah.
Rather than
being
some sort of recluse. But he kept himself. He had meals there, things like that. But there was one occasion where the chambermaid went to the room, knocked on the door. Is anybody in there? Didn't get no answer. But the door was locked and she didn't have the key. Because normally when people check out this hotel, they hand the key in.
Yes.
So that you know, so that they know you're out, okay? But they didn't have the key handed back in, so they went to knock on the door to see if he was in there and didn't get no answer. And they thought, well, this is weird. There's no key and he's not answering. Something happened. So the manager, or the assistant manager, she went up there and she opened the door. And she said when she opened the door, he was stood in front, basically stood looking at the door, and he was in total shock. Like she'd open a door. And she said it was almost like he was expecting somebody, but not her.
Right, okay. So, like...
So, she said she... Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you mean. What I mean.
So, he was expecting... He was almost expecting someone to come through the door, but not her. And then she said it was she said when she saw him, it was like she caught him in the act, right, of doing something. He was fully clothed. But...
You know where my mind went.
Yeah, but... She said she caught him. That's what she felt like. She caught him in the act of doing something, whatever he was doing. But he didn't want anybody to know this. And but when he seen it was there, he was sort of sigh of relief when he saw it was there. And then he realised that it was there. And then they exchanged some words about, you know, the clients clean the room, and he said he'd be going out shortly, and then they cleaned the room when he went. So that's what took place in the hotel. Okay. So again, like, we're going back now to the Monday. So he checks out and he goes from the hotel to the bus station where he originally came, okay? But somewhere, again, the CCTV footage shows this, when he turns up to the bus station, he's not carrying the black hold-all bag.
Right, so
somewhere between
he's lost it or deposited it.
Yeah, somewhere between the hotel and the bus station, which ain't that far, he's deposited it somewhere. And again, there's no CCTV footage of him leaving this bag anywhere. So there's CCTV footage of him walking down the street, the CCTV footage of him walking into the bus station, buying a coffee, things like that, sitting at a table. But they don't know where he dumped that bag, and that bag to this day has still never been found. None of the items he deposited have ever been found, not one. So are they still there, sitting somewhere, waiting to be discovered? Has he hid them in such a way that... So when we think he's deposited these things, did he deposit them like... Because when you think... I don't know about you, but when I was watching this, you know, the programme and listening to it, when I was thinking deposited, I was thinking he's found like a bin or something like that to drop these items in. But has he hid these items in such a way that they're under a rock or something like that where someone will discover them eventually? Rather than binning them, do you know what I mean?
Well, there's that, and then obviously you don't know what was in them.
No, but I mean, a lot of these things, if you didn't want them to be discovered later on, you could have binned them at the hotel. I mean, there is a bin in most rooms, isn't there? There's bins all over the place. I mean, you wouldn't need to go around the town depositing these things. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it'll make more sense when I tell you what happens next. So, again, the CCTV footage shows them at the cafe in the station, yeah, where he buys a cappuccino and a sandwich. And, you know, like I say, nothing unusual here. He's sitting at the table, he's watching the world go by. He actually made some notes on a piece of paper. And again, you can see this on the film, but they've never tracked down those notes. It looked towards the end like he might have either folded them up and put them away in his pocket or tore them up.
Yeah.
But you put them in his pocket and again, they've never found these scraps of paper. So what was on him, we don't know. Now, he boarded a bus and purchased a one-way ticket. And this was about 2:30 in the afternoon. And he asked to go to Ross's Point.
Okay.
And that's where he got off. So we know from the bus driver that was on duty that day that he did get off at Ross's Point, and he remembers seeing this guy, you know. Okay, so when he gets to the beach, lots of witnesses place him at the beach, walking up and down the beach all day. You know, dog walkers, like I said before, there's people who just go walking down there. It's not a, when you think of a beach, it's not a beach, sand and, you know, deck chairs and all that sort of beach. It's not that kind of beach. I mean, you get the ice cream vans and all that, but it's more like a craggy, it's a cliff edge.
Right.
You think of Ireland, you know, that is that. You know, it's like a cliff edge and you walk down and it's like a craggy beach. Again, you know, people went there windsurfing, surfboarding, that kind of thing. But
it's no cliff.
It's not a, you know, go down there and eat a stick of rock type of beach, you know, yeah, and have sex under the pier. But that's another story. So he's down there, and again, like, witnesses place him there for hours. Okay. He was seen. He was seen at 4 o'clock. This is the way. This is where people that saw him told the police, you know, after this event, after the event, that they recognised this man. So he was seen. He could be placed at the beach at 4 o'clock. We know he got on a bus at 2:40-ish. So he was seen there at 4, 5, 9:10 at night, 9:30 at night, 10:30 at night. Remember, this is June, so it would have been light till,
yeah, so
fairly
not
late. So it's not. I mean, it is out the ordinary to be there at 10:30 at night on, yep, this beach, okay? Unless, like I say, you're drunk and you're accompanying a, you know, young lady. But anyway, 11 o'clock, 10:10, 10:12, right? So 10 minutes before midnight was the last time he was seen, and this was by a couple who was walking their dog, and they was coming off the beach. Up this staircase off the beach and up this cliff face sort of thing. They was actually coming off that as he was going down onto the beach.
Right, so he's sort of potted around all over. Yeah, he's not just stayed in
he's
one.
He's not
place.
Just gone there and you know, and then gone. But again, you know, when they say they saw him going on the beach as they was coming off, and the guy remembers, he said, "Well, you know, I said hello to him," and he nodded back. He didn't speak, he just nodded back, you know, that nod you do. But again, you know, but he said it stuck out because we was coming off the beach, it was 10 to 12, and this guy's going on the beach. And again, look at the way he's dressed in this leather jacket, smartly dressed. He's got like suit bottoms on, you know, that sort of thing. He doesn't look like someone that would be on the beach. And again, that's why a lot of these witnesses could place him, is because the way he stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
All right, he wasn't in shorts and t-shirt and, you know, the usual attire for the beach. He was in a suit.
Yeah,
a leather jacket on. He just looks strange. So that brings us round to the following morning. When the guy called Arthur Kinsella, I think his name was, he took his lad down there, and his lad was training for some sort of triathlon. So they go early morning, like 6:30 in the morning, and his lad would swim and all that, just to get it out of the way for the day. Right?
Yeah,
and he runs across the body. And he actually states that when he saw the body at first, he thought it was a shot mannequin just laid on the beach.
Right, okay.
All right. Then he said he walked over there, and then he realised it was a human being. So Mr. Kinsella comes across this body, and he obviously realises the situation. This guy's clearly drowned, okay? He's drowned. So he calls for the police, or the guard in Ireland, okay? And they come down, and their report says that they found this man. He was wearing a navy blue t-shirt, Speedo style swimsuit, underwear on top of the swimsuit. Okay.
Okay.
And the wristwatch, right? The rest of his clothing was on the shore. It was found folded and stacked in a neat little pile. Incidentally, right, what was interesting about the clothing that they found, because they're not sure whether, obviously, he's deceased at this point, okay, and this is why this case is all strange, but they're not sure whether he was intending for his body to be washed out and never found, okay? So the clothing that he left behind, when they actually looked at the clothing, all the labels inside the clothing have been removed.
Okay.
So you know you get labels in most pieces of clothing, yeah, where washing instructions, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They'd actually been snipped out of everything, his underwear, everything. I mean, sometimes you'll do that if you've got like a piece of clothing where the label's particularly itchy.
Yeah.
I know with the girls, like, they get labels sometimes on the inside of their thing, and they'll say, cut them off because it's itching me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can happen. But no, this was everything. Even things that wouldn't necessarily do that, like say trousers, things, sort of things. All the labels have been removed, which makes it very difficult to place these items. You know, which store you bought them from, if, you know.
Especially if they're just like a generic.
That's the thing. Yeah. So the clothes were going to be found because he'd left them on the beach. People that are familiar with the missing 411 stuff, the Dave Blythe stuff, they'll this crops up in those cases where people go missing and they'll find the clothes all neatly stacked. You know, we don't know why that is.
Yeah, it seems really strange.
But that does crop up. You know,
the last thing I'd be thinking of is let me fold this T-shirt.
Yeah, if you're going to go drown yourself, it seems it's almost ritualistic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just something in the human psyche where we do these things. I don't know. This last Could act, be. And yeah, I don't know. But again, he's piled all this stuff up and headed out into the sea. Again, like I say, the label removal made it very difficult for
any sort of forensic
clothes to things. Okay, so obviously the trousers that he was on, he had a few things in his pocket actually. So he had money, tissues, aspirin, adhesive bandages, a bar of hotel soap.
So he's a thief as well.
Yeah, but interestingly, the soap was not from the hotel he was staying in Ireland. Okay, it was determined that the soap was not even an Irish brand.
Right,
okay. So why, I don't know. And again, but he had no identification on him. And he wore glasses, and the glasses weren't found either. So whether he went into the sea with them on and they got washed away, I don't know. But they weren't with the thing.
That's really strange. Yeah.
The hotel, the black laptop bag was also found there, and the purple shopping bag, interestingly enough. Now, this is obviously strange anyway, but where it gets a little bit more stranger is the post-mortem. Okay, so they took his DNA, they took his fingerprints, and circulated them across Interpol and all the rest of it, and they also took his picture from the CCTV footage and circulated that as missing people's and that, and no one to this day has ever come forward to say they know the guy, recognise the guy. The fingerprints didn't match anybody on record, the DNA didn't match anybody on record as yet. I mean, that can change, obviously. Next to King might get picked up and then it. But to all intents and purposes, he's a ghost. And the obviously the Bergman name, the Peter Bergman name, they do believe that that is a false name as well, because they can't find any record or passport or anything like that ever issued to a Peter Bergman. Which is strange in itself, because you think that'd be quite a common name. Peter Bergman's obviously a common name, but Peter is obviously still not an outlandish name. So to find there's nobody with that, again, it's interesting. But
yeah, it is actually.
The strangest thing about all this, which might shed some light on why he committed suicide, because although the post-mortem couldn't show saltwater drowning as a cause of death, it was ruled to be the cause of death. Okay, because he was found on the beach in swimwear, and to all intents and purposes, he drowned.
Yeah, but if there's no water in the lungs, that's like saying someone who's been hit by a bus has died of COVID.
Again, yeah, I know, yeah. You know what I mean? Well, they have, yeah.
Yeah.
They died with COVID anyway. But I think if, again, you go back to the missing 411 stuff, a lot of those people do drown. I remember we did a show on the Manchester Canal deaths, and a lot of those people drowned. They were found dead in the water, but the coroners could never say with definitive they died of drowning. They would say, they'd say a misadventure or exposure, even. These things would crop up, even though it was found in water.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Clearly drowned.
Yeah, it's pretty conclusive.
They couldn't say for definite they drowned, which is, I don't know, it's strange. I don't know, but in this case, this crops up. But again, this is the most interesting bit, I think, about all this, apart from the CCTV footage. This is interesting because when they did the post-mortem, they found that he had extensive late stages of prostate cancer. Okay, and it even got into the bone and things like that. Now, this would have been extremely painful, right? He'd also, they also found that he had bone tumours and he had one kidney. He also had heart trouble. He clearly suffered heart attacks in the past and would have been taken drugs for that. Mm. But in the post-mortem, they didn't find any trace of any painkiller or any drug in his system. Not even like stuff like aspirin or paracetamol, these types of things that you just take for pain. He didn't take that. And again, the pathologist couldn't explain that because it's not normal to have that level of pain and not take anything for it. A lot of people would even take like methadone and things like that for this sort of level of pain.
Yeah, it's not normal.
Because when that gets into your bones, that is
excruciating.
Apparently,
yeah.
That's what they'd say. I mean, obviously, you know, no one's ever had that, but, you know. But if you go back to the contents of his pockets, aspirin was found in his pockets.
But not in his system.
But not in his system.
Okay.
So did he stop taking this stuff? I don't know how long it takes for that to get out of your system. I don't know. Maybe it's a couple of days. Maybe, I don't know. I've got no idea. But did he, I'm just supposing here, but did he take, when he arrived in Ireland, or when he arrived in Sligo, did he stop taking this stuff? Was this a conscious decision? I'm going to stop taking this shit now. This is the end. Because it seems to me like he's prepared what's gone on here for these final days of his life. He's taken the decision. This is what he's going to do. And the way he's going to do it, he's planned it out to the letter, removing the labels, things like that. So did he make a conscious decision at that point that he was going to stop? But again, if you watch the footage of him around the hotel and all that, he doesn't look in pain. He doesn't really look in pain. I mean, he's still smoking and things like that. But I mean, I guess, you know, if you're fucking dying, it doesn't really matter at that point.
No.
But he's still smoking, things like that. And he doesn't look, he's not on a stick or anything like that. He's not, you know, walking with a cane or anything like that. He's just, he doesn't look in pain, which, again, is interesting, knowing what we know about him afterwards. I mean, I don't know what really more to say on it. I mean, there was obviously all these ailments that he had. The cause of death, like I said before, was listed as drowned, and although there was no, the coroner said there was no classic, and this is a quote, classic saltwater drowning, no signs of classic saltwater drowning, was a quote.
Which is weird in itself when you think, do you know
well,
what I mean?
They thought he might have died, and they, in the summing up, they actually said that he could have had a cardiac arrest from going in the water or whatever it was, the cold, I don't know. But that could have been what killed him, and then the drowning just happened later on.
That's possible, yeah.
So,
he's pretty damn cold.
You know, if that's the way they're looking at it. But again, so this is 2009, and this is what we still don't know to this point, okay? There's a list here. So I'll read you the list, and then we'll go from there. But so this is what we don't know, okay? The man's true name, where he was from, although, like I said, the place in Vienna where you mentioned did actually exist. It's just not a property anymore.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been for a long time.
So it's not where he...
So did he know this property when he was a kid or something like that?
Mm.
But we don't know where he's from, okay? We don't know his identity. We don't know his place of origin. We don't even know where he entered Ireland.
Yeah, of course. Right? No, you wouldn't.
We don't know why he picked Sligo.
Hmm.
Again, you know... Is that just a random impulse thing on the day?
Could have been.
We don't know what he did with the belongings that he seemingly disposed of during his stay in the town. We don't know what the belongings were, obviously, because we never traced them. We don't know where he disposed of them. We don't know whether he intended to die by drowning.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe to assume that, but you can't know for definite, okay?
Yeah.
We don't know if he intended to simply disappear, although the removal of any identification, the labels, things like that, does tend to...
It goes more towards suicide than just trying to disappear.
Didn't want to be...
Yeah.
For them to know who he was when they found him, okay? obviously we don't know who those letters were for. You know, they bought email things and things, but we don't know if he wrote any letters. We don't know if he sent any letters. We've got no idea. The police did try and trace that. They're going back to the post office to see if there was they could find it, but there was no they don't keep records of that.
No.
You know, when you put a letter in a letterbox, it's just a letter in a letterbox. It's not a... Unless it's recorded.
Yeah.
It's just another letter in a bag.
Yeah.
And obviously, we still don't know who he is, and no one's come forward, and no one identifies him, which...
Yeah, it's really quite strange. So we don't know a thing about him, then...
It feels, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like you almost want to say, and I'm sure he wasn't, but I'm going to say it anyway, but it makes me feel like he was some sort of spy or something, you know what I mean? And he'd been working behind enemy lines, and...
Yeah.
He wanted to go without...
I know what you mean. You know, if you're going to die without a trace...
The bit that gets me is the CCTV. And I'll send you the film so you can watch it, but I think it's only about 15 minutes long. It's not a long thing at all. But and again, I'll put the link in the description because people could go and watch this if you're interested. And you'll see the behaviour of him. You'll see him stood on corners looking at CCTV cameras, and he's clearly, you know... I mean, I don't know how... I've never tried to do it, so I don't know. But he had 100% success rate at disposing of things without being seen. So...
I'd say that leans more towards, like you said, with being that sort of undercover
something.
Yeah, because it's
some sort of intelligence, maybe military intelligence or something. It just seems like
a bit too convenient.
Yeah, it was good. If it was just a random thing, he decided to go there and dump this stuff without anybody noticing. Well, he did a good fucking job because they never found it. So
and they don't know who he is.
That's 100% success rate. That's pretty good going. Just for a random person to decide to do it. So I'm not saying that he's a spy, but I'm saying he's definitely a spy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'd be interested again on people's thoughts on this. It is a bizarre tale.
Mm. It is. It's very strange.
You know, and like I say, he was dying. He clearly knew he was dying. The pathologist, they said they there's no doubt that they knew.
Yeah, he'd have felt it.
He was dying. He obviously knew he had this. And when these tumours get in your bones and all the rest of it, there's no way he didn't know he was dying. Okay, so this was his way of taking back control over... And people do this. You know, people who are dying do take control back over their lives. You know, they'll decide when they go on their terms.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon. I mean, it's not common, but it's not uncommon, if you know what I mean. So... Is it just as simply that? But then you say, well, nobody's looking for him essentially. But then there are people that no one's looking for. I mean, people who are, you know, not very nice people. Let's say people have done things. You know, you could have relatives that have done bad shit, and you wouldn't necessarily give a fuck what happens to them. You wouldn't be.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, if you haven't seen him for a while, you're not gonna think, "Oh, I'm really bothered about where this person's gone," because they don't mean. So
yeah.
So you don't know if he was in that camp either.
That's true.
We just don't know.
No.
And I don't know. I think 2009, so we're a few years on now, aren't we? So I'm not sure that this is ever gonna get resolved now. I think this is just gonna be one of those cases that remains just a mystery.
Mm. Does seem that way, doesn't it? It does seem like it's one that we're not going to ever find out. And to be honest, I don't think the police... It's horrible to say it, but I can't see him being that bothered.
No, it's not a murder. It's not a...
No, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't see them...
It is a suicide, essentially speaking.
Just because we don't know who he
is. Although he died of a heart attack, so it's difficult to rule it as a suicide. But it is, you know, it is
it just seems,
a natural death, let's put it like that. So...
Are they going to waste resources?
No, they've said as much. They've said, look, we've done our investigation. We can't tell you who he is, blah, blah, blah. And it's
what it is.
You know, unless someone comes forward and said, oh, he's so-and-so. And then the police, there's very little they can do. And again, like I said, there's no resources being spent because of the situation. It's just a natural death.
Yeah.
So, again, it probably never gets solved.
No.
Unless those items are found.
Yeah, but again, even if they are found, is it...
Depends what they are.
Depends what they are and as to whether they're going to bother, you know, looking into it any further. Because like you said, if it's just some random foreigner who's decided to have a heart attack because he swam in the sea, are they really that bothered?
No, probably not. But if the items come back to be something of significance, then maybe it will. But let's hope something is found. I can't imagine that you just... Again, you know, they asked the people at the tip and things like that if they'd seen this bag and stuff like that. So, you know, and they hadn't. So a lot of rubbish comes through tips and, you know, as you can imagine, all the bins and that, there's quite a lot of rubbish. It's not like they would find, you know, a hold all necessarily, but some might. I mean, there's a lot of babies get dumped at tips and things like that and they're never found.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Sometimes they find them years later and things like that, but... And suitcases and shit, don't they? So,
yeah,
you know, it's a needle in an A-stack. It's a needle in an A-stack. But again, I'd be interested if people have got views on this or.
Yeah.
Whether they had a similar case, even.
Yeah.
But
that's a very. Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, to be honest.
It's just, again, you know, he's took his destiny in his own hands and, you know, well done.
And he's done a good job.
Yeah. So, just wanted to say thank you to. Apple subscription subscribers. I don't know if that's the right fucking word for it. Sounds a bit of a mouthful, actually. Now I've said it out loud. But we want to thank them. What do you call them? People.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you call a collective? I don't know.
Group. You guys. Well done.
Yes, thank you very much.
But we don't know who you are because Apple don't tell you. So, yeah.
Well, they do tell us where you're from.
Yeah, but
which country.
Which doesn't narrow it down when you've got...
No, because there's 3.5... billion people in different countries.
Yeah. So if you are on Apple subscription, just drop us a little message and we'll give you a shout out.
Absolutely. And if you want one.
Yeah. If you want, if you don't want a shout out, don't bother. Yeah, but but thank you. So.
But yeah.
And then for Patreon, we've had a couple of new Patreon members as well. So thank you for Jason, James, and Corey. They're welcome to our Patreon. Patreon is there for. You guys who don't have Apple, if you do, you know, it's basically the same, isn't it? But for Android. So I think, as you know, some of you guys are probably actually on Apple, but still on Patreon. So depend whatever you find easier to use. But I mean, I still like Patreon. I know you quite like the new Apple subscription. But
I like it because it's all in one place.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier, yeah.
Yeah, I still like Patreon, though. It's got a place in my heart. But yeah, so thank
you. Again, if you're leaving comments on stuff like Podbean, things like that, we don't actually use Podbean it's not our host. So if you're leaving, but people have that as a podcast app.
Yes.
So if you're leaving comments on Podbean and that, we get a notification that someone's left a comment, but we don't get the comment unless we subscribe to fucking Podbean and all that, which is, you know, it's just a ball ache. It'd be easier if you're going to leave a comment, unless it's get a fucking life and shit like that, and I'm not really interested. But if you're going to leave an actual comment or you want to get in touch with us, then get over to Facebook, just find us at Bizarre Tales Podcast. You know, you'll see that, it's obvious. Or email us if you want at supernaturalpod@gmail.com. It's just, you know, they're easier ways to contact us than Podbean.
Yeah.
You know, and people will be like, "Well, what?" You know, leaving comments on Podbean, then wondering why we're not replying. But it's simply that.
Yeah, we don't use it.
Yeah, but
so
yeah, if you can sign up for the additional things, that makes our life easier. Again, if we get more people that sign up, the more content we can do because we have more fucking time. So you know, it's a win-win. Again, we're going to put up an episode of our Absolute Poppycock other show that we do. It's not for the faint-hearted. So if you are squeamish, look away now. That will come in.
Well, it'll probably come alongside this within a couple of days after this episode.
It's going to be an episode that we've already done. Yeah. We're just going to put it up for you guys to listen to. And if you like it, then you can go across and join us on the Absolute Poppycock.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fun program.
It's different.
It's very different to this.
So
you might not like it. And hey, if you don't like it, don't join us over there. Just stick with us on Bizarre Tales. But if you do enjoy it,
you'll get a flavour of it at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that being said. But yes, so we will put out an extra show for the subscribers. So thank you again to those people. If you can donate, there is a tip jar. If you want to buy a t-shirt, you can do all those lovely things. You know, make our Christmas a bit better.
Yeah, it's nearly Christmas.
So that being said, Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you on the other side.
Thank you.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.